If you have the Word of God, let's open it to Mark chapter 4, verse 33, and Acts chapter 16. You might want to get those two places there together. We're talking today on this extended, continued series of messages on why do bad things happen to godly people. And this is the third week that we've been talking about the hidden spirit principle. And this is part three to the hidden spirit principle. And in Mark chapter 4, verse 33, we have a tremendous setting. And what has happened, you'll find this also, Matthew and Mark and Luke are called synoptic gospels. And the word synoptic is our way of saying that they are similar. There's so much similarity in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but there's a distinctiveness about them because each of them was written to three different target audiences. But so much of the material is the same or almost the same, and that they are synoptic gospel accounts. Well, in Luke, this same account is given even with more detail. But in Mark chapter 4, in verse 33, let's read that for you out loud. It says, in the synagogue, there was a man possessed by the spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, "Let us alone. What business do we have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth?" Now, what we don't understand just by reading Mark, unless we read Luke, is what prompted that man, that spirit that was possessing or afflicting this man to cry out. Well, Luke tells us in the synoptic account that Jesus announced on that day that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. And the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and that the Holy Spirit had anointed him to do four powerful things. The Spirit of the Lord had anointed him to preach the good news to the poor. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he's anointed me to proclaim release to the captives. The Spirit of the Lord is so powerfully upon me that he's anointed me to proclaim recovery of sight to the blind." And then he said, "The Spirit of the Lord so anointed me, I am to set free the oppressed." And then he says, "I am to proclaim that this is the year of favor for you." Amen? And then we find that happening with a man with the unclean spirit. In the synagogue at that point when Jesus stood up with a fresh anointing on him, with a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit upon him, then it caused the man who was demonized with a spirit of an unclean demon to cry out with a loud voice, "Let us alone! Let us alone!" You know, that's what's been happening at Truth Tabernacle of Praise as we have been preaching under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And we've been announcing that the captives can go free. As we have been proclaiming the good news to the poor, that people are receiving it and the demon spirits are worried about it. And the demon spirits are crying out in the spiritual world, "Leave us alone! Leave us alone! Leave us alone!" You see, that's what's happened. The church over the last 100 years has been leaving the demons alone. The church has not been acknowledging that demons even exist. If you were to take a poll in the United States of America, in the religious communities, most of the religious communities say demons don't bother people in America. They bother people in Africa. They bother people in Brazil. They bother people in India. But demons don't bother people in America. But I'm here to tell you that whenever a man of God or a woman of God is anointed by the Spirit of God, whenever the man of God or the woman of God begins to preach under that anointing and begins to proclaim the good news to the captives and set the captives free and open the eyes of the blind, then the demons begin to stand up saying, "Leave us alone. Leave us alone." Well, there are hidden spirits that are trying to keep you from taking your stand over your circumstances and trying to keep you from embracing the victory that's already been won for you. We've been talking about two of those hidden spirits thus far. And the first one we talked about was Leviathan. Leviathan is one of those demon spirits that's a ranking spirit, but it's a hidden spirit. And Leviathan wants to confuse you. Leviathan wants to confuse you. In Isaiah chapter 27, verse 1, we saw that truth. It says, in that day, the Lord will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent, with his fierce and great and mighty sword, even Leviathan, the twisted spirit, and he will kill the dragon who lives in the sea. You see, Leviathan is the word Leviathan means twisted. And whenever a person has the hidden spirit of Leviathan in their life, then Leviathan takes the truth and it twists it in your mind. It takes the truth and it twists it in your mind, and that you can't embrace the truth, and the truth doesn't set you free. And the twisted spirit of Leviathan brings confusion on you. Whenever you are being inflicted by confusion, you don't even know your name. Whenever you are under a spiritual attack from the hidden spirit of Leviathan, especially if you're trying to counsel someone, or you're trying to witness to someone, or you're trying to deal with a particular a sin or stronghold in your life, when the spirit of Leviathan comes upon you, you can't even think straight. You can't even reason, you can't even rash, and you don't even know what you're doing. And it's such a supernatural, it's such a spiritual enemy. There have been times when I have been trying to lead someone to their freedom in Christ, and I can't think of John 3:16. I can't think, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I can't think of anything. And I'm saying, what in the world is going on? I'm trying to help this person be free, and I can't even think of anything. And then all of a sudden, the Spirit of God gives me a thought and said, you're dealing with confusion. And you got to renounce confusion. And so at that moment, in that instant, I just out loud. Now, you got to say it out loud because the demons can't hear you. I say, God has not given me the spirit of confusion, 1 Corinthians 14. God is not a God of confusion, but of peace in all the churches of all the saints of all the ages. And so right now, I renounce the spirit of confusion. And spirit of confusion, you leave me and you go to the places my Savior sends you, and instantly it's gone. And you are free from that old Leviathan, that twisting spirit. Well, there's a second hidden spirit that we've been talking about. Leviathan wants to confuse you, but he's got a partner called Jezebel. And Jezebel wants to control you. We talked at length about Jezebel last week. We looked at Jezebel in history. We looked at Jezebel in society. And we looked at Jezebel in the church. Yes, that's where Jezebel really has been wreaking havoc in these last 30, 40 years. It's in the church. Jesus said to the church, but I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and leads my bondservants astray so that they commit acts of immorality. Jezebel likes to control people. Jezebel likes to control marriages. Jezebel likes to control ministries. Jezebel likes to control nations. And how does Jezebel gain control? Well, she uses manipulation. When you find someone under the spirit of Jezebel, they will manipulate their way into the relationship. They will manipulate their way into the conversation. They will manipulate their way into the marriage. And Jezebel not only uses manipulation, but Jezebel uses seduction. It is a seducing spirit. It will use all of the false gods and the demons of the world to bring seduction over a person's mind. The spirit of Jezebel will seduce a prophet of God. into an unholy covenant, into an unholy relationship. And it will use acts of sexual immorality to manipulate its way into a person's life. And then, once that happens, control is gained. And Jezebel, the spirit of Jezebel, will use tantrums to keep from being dealt with. And whenever the spirit of Jezebel is in control, then everybody knows that this person here is a wild hare. This one here is a short fuse, and they'll begin to placate Jezebel because they don't want to set it off. And so manipulation leads to seduction, and manipulation and seduction leads to immorality. And manipulation and seduction leads to immorality, which then results in control. Jezebel wants to control. We talked about that at length last week. But number three, let's move on to Python. We talked about Python in its historical setting a couple of weeks ago, but Python partners with Jezebel and Leviathan. When a person gets confused and the truth gets twisted, and when Leviathan comes along and with confusion, and Jezebel comes along with some measure of influence and control, then Python wants to choke you. In Acts chapter 16, verse 16, we saw the historical basis for this. It says, "It happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a slave girl having a spirit of divination met us." Now, the word divination is the word pythos. It's the only time that a demon spirit is identified in the book of Acts by name. Now, demon spirits are usually broadly classified as we read in Mark, an unclean spirit. It's broadly classified, as legion. We are many. But in this particular case, God says that it was the spirit of pythos. Now, why in the world did God use the name of this spirit to identify itself for us? It's so that we would understand what Python wants to do. Python is different than any other snake. Python will bite you, but it will not kill you with its bite. Python is after one thing. Python is after your breath. Python wants the breath that you have. Now, what is it that's so powerful and is paralleled for us in Scripture about breath? Well, breath in Scripture is the symbol of the Holy Spirit. Breath in Scripture is the symbol of the Holy Spirit. And Python wants the anointing you get from the Holy Spirit. It wants to choke the anointing out of your life. It wants to choke the Spirit out of your life. Let me show you the progression of revelation about breath as it relates to the Holy Spirit and to life. It says, "Then the Lord God," Genesis chapter 2, "Then the Lord God formed man of the dust from the ground." And then what separated man from anything else that God has created comes next. What did God do that was distinct from man, from any animal, or from any other created thing? And it says, God breathed into his nostrils the what? The breath of what? Of life. And man became at that point there a living being, a living soul. But the spirit of Python is after that breath. The spirit of Python wants to choke the very life of God out of you. The spirit of Python wants to constrict and remove that anointing from you. Why? Because it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's the anointing that sets captives free. And when Jesus came upon the scene, he was in the temple as his custom was. But this day was different. He took the scroll of Isaiah from the priest's hands. And he began quoting from Isaiah. And he's saying, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor and to set the oppressed free, to give recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the captives go free. But then the unclean spirit cried out, let us alone. Let us alone. Get that anointing out of here. Get that Holy Spirit out of here. We don't want any of that. And you know that's what most churches want. They don't want the Holy Spirit. They don't want the anointing. They want to tickle the ears. And they just want the structure. They want a form of godliness, but they want to deny the power thereof. Then we see in John chapter 20, verse 22, when Jesus had said this to them, as my Father sent me, so I am sending you. When Jesus said it, how did the Father send him? He sent him with full of the Holy Spirit. He sent him with a fresh anointing to preach good news to the poor and to announce the favorable year and to let the oppressed to go free and to recover the sight. As the Father sent me, I send you. And when he said that, your Bible says, what did he do? He breathed on them. He breathed on them and said to them, receive whom? The Holy Spirit. And Python begins to cry out, leave us alone. Leave us alone. Leave us alone. And when Python gets an opportunity, it will bite its prey in order to trip its prey. But then, because it doesn't have poison in its bite, it has death in its strength. When you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, you don't have the power that's overcome the Spirit's world. And you need the Holy Spirit in order to be victorious in your daily walk. Amen? Acts chapter 2, verse 2, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing what? Wind and breath. Wind and breath. And they were all what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. But then Python and Leviathan and Jezebel and the rest of the spirit world begins to cry out, leave us alone. Leave us alone. What do we have to do with you? We have nothing to do with one another. And then let me show you the picture in Ezekiel chapter 37. I know this is talking specifically and prophetically to Israel, but it applies to us today. In Ezekiel chapter 37, it says, so I prophesied as he the hand of the Lord is upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the middle of the valley. And it was full of what? Bones, and they were very what? Now, I told you a few weeks ago that bones represent structure. Structure without breath. Structure without life. And I want to tell you, is there a better descriptive term for most churches today than these bones without breath? Bones without life? That's what he's saying. And he said to me, he said, hey, Ezekiel, prophet, son of man, can these bones live? Is there a chance for them to have breath again? And he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, I will cause what? I will cause breath to enter you, that you may come to what? Life. What did Jesus say he'd come to do? He'd come to give us life, and life in all of its abundance. What did he say the thief has come to do? The thief has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He wants to steal the life from you. He wants to kill the life from you. He wants to destroy the life in you. And how does he do that? He uses Leviathan to confuse you. He uses Jezebel to control you. And he uses Python to choke you. Look at what he says. And I looked, and behold, as I prophesied, He said, I looked and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them. But there was no what? There was no breath. There was no spirit. There was no life in them. Then he said to me, hey, you got to prophesy to what? You got to prophesy to the breath. You got to speak to the Spirit. You got to speak to the Holy Spirit and say, breath, Holy Spirit, God, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these that have been slain, that they may come to what? They might come to life. Can somebody say amen? You know, that's what we've been doing. We've been prophesying to the breath. And we've been asking God to come into people and to break the grip of Python and to take the drugs off of them that control them and to take the soul ties away from them that destroy them and to take the confusion away from them. The people are confused about who loves them. I want to tell you, God loves them. But we've got such a twisted spirit going on that half of our nation don't even believe God exists anymore, let alone that He loves them, that He came to earth, that He died for them, and He rose from the dead to set them free. But then He says, I want you to breathe on these that are slain. And so I prophesied as He commanded me, and the breath came into them. Amen? And they came to life and stood on their feet. And I love this next part. And exceedingly great what? Woo! Glory to God. God's raising up an end time army. God's raising up an end time army with the remnant church. And God is beginning with places like Truth Tabernacle of Praise. And there have been people here that have been plagued with circumstances. The enemy has been circling and circling and circling you. And you haven't known how to take your stance because you didn't know you were confused. You didn't know you were controlled. You didn't know you'd been choked. But I want to tell you, when the anointing of God shows up, it breaks the yoke and the captives are set free. Oh, so I prophesied, and He commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they stood to their feet, an exceedingly great army. Well, let me tell you, how in the world then does Python attack you? How does Python get to where it wraps itself around you and begins to choke the breath out of you? Well, two ways, and we'll be finished with this. Number one, is that Python tries to interrupt you from praying. Python tries to interrupt you from praying. In Acts chapter 16, verse 16, it happened. It happened that as we were going to the what? To the place of what? Prayer. You can just put this down. If you develop a place of prayer, and you ought to, If you develop a time of prayer, and you ought to, then Python is going to slither its way and try to choke that prayer right out of you. You know, we had some well-intended people that showed up and wanted to have an appointment with me today. And what time do you think they showed up and wanted to have an appointment with me today? It's just as the prayer team was about to come in. And they notified me, there's some people here, they would like to meet with you, fine people, good people, well-intended people, but I said, it'll have to wait. It'll have to wait. Well, what will it have to wait for? It'll have to wait till we've finished our prayer. Amen. What will Python do? Python will always try to interrupt your prayer. Why? Let me tell you about praying in a simple term. Praying is like breathing. Praying is like breathing because it requires two things. It requires you to inhale, and it requires you to exhale. Breathing is inhaling. You inhale the voice of God. You inhale the Word of God. And you inhale, you listen to what God is saying. And that's where you get His perspective. But you know, when you breathe in the voice of God, then you've got to also breathe out. And that's when you talk to God. What does Python want to do? Python wants to interrupt your praying. Because in prayer, when you learn to pray in the Spirit, when you learn how to pray in season, when you learn how to pray at a season, when you learn how to walk abiding with Him and allow God to speak into your circumstances, then you get a fresh anointing for a fresh opportunity. You come to that person that you've never seen before, and God says, I want you to tell them about Jesus. I don't know what to say. Don't worry about what to say. I'll put the words in your mouth when the time comes. And Python wants to choke that out of you. If Python can do anything, he will interrupt your prayer life. That's what he was trying to do with Paul and with Silas and these others here. He was trying to interrupt their prayer life. Why is that so important? The devil won't mind you being successful temporarily if he can keep you from praying habitually. He don't mind you having some victories occasionally if he can keep you from praying passionately. Why? Praying does one major thing that we need to be reminded of today. Praying employs angels for the assignment. One of the greatest tragedies of prayerlessness is the unemployment of angels. Let me give you a couple of examples in the Word of God about the connection between praying and angels. When Daniel received a vision from God, he was praying. He set himself to praying and breathing in and breathing out the Spirit of God. And there was a tremendous war that ensued in Daniel's life that he didn't even know about it. His circumstances changed. All of a sudden, when Daniel set himself to praying and fasting and seeking the face of God, your Bible says that he was surrounded by warfare in the heavenlies that he didn't know was going on. And God immediately, when Daniel was praying, he sent an angel with the answer to the prayer and an interpretation of the dream vision. And there was a spirit war that took place in the heavenlies. It took 21 days for the angel to break through and get the angel. You think there's not a circumstance going on around you? You think you're not encircled by heavenly and holy and unholy angels? You set yourself to praying, and I'll tell you, you cause all kinds of havoc in the heavenlies. But old Python says, nope, we're going to get that prayer life out of him. We're going to interrupt this, and it'll get you on to something else. Praying is inhaling and exhaling the breath of God, the Spirit of God, the life of God. Your spirit needs to be energized. Well, you say, are there any other examples of that? Well, absolutely. What about Jesus himself? When Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, I mean, he was intensely praying. He was passionately praying, so much so that blood began to pop out of his pores. And he began to bleed blood through his poor ducks. And it was such an intense time for him of struggling to do the will of God. And here's what your Bible says after that. Angels were on the scene to minister to him. I want to tell you, when you pray and when I pray, that God sends angels and sets them in motion with assignments, with answers, with power, with protection, with all kinds of things. But who wants you not to pray more than anybody else? That's old Python. And Python said, we're going to let them have semblances of life, but they're not going to have any breath in their life. We're going to choke that right out of them. Well, what about Peter? And Peter was in prison, and I want to tell you, God sent an angel. What about Paul? Well, Paul, he was on a ship that was about to be wrecked, and this wasn't any news to him. He'd been shipwrecked multiple times. But this one, it looked like everybody was going down with this one, and everybody was going to die. But here Paul was, and he got to praying. Paul got to praying, and guess what happened? An angel of God showed up on that ship where he was praying and said, hey, Paul, I got some good news for you. Nobody on this ship is going to suffer life loss. They're going to lose everything else they got, but they're going to lose any life right here. And the next day, Paul says, hey, boys, y'all quit worrying, quit fretting. Why? Because I talked to my God about it last night. And what did your God say when I talked to my God about it? He sent an angel that stood right here beside me. Right here on this deck right here, that angel from God came and stood right here and said, there is nobody going to lose their life right here. I want to tell you, we'll just go to praying right now because the angels will move. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody ought to just pray right now and ask God to move on your behalf. The python wants to choke the life of prayer right out of you. Oh, my goodness, there's so much in that. Praying is like breathing, and it requires you to inhale. You've got to listen to God, but also you got to exhale. You got to talk to God. Amen? How many of you know you got to talk to God? Oh, my goodness, but not many of us know we got to listen to God. Listening can be just as important, if not more so, than talking. God's given us two ears, amen? How many tongues did He give you? One. You ought to listen twice as much as you talk. That's good parenting skills too right there. Well, won't charge anything else for that. Teach those children to listen twice as much as they talk. They won't get near as much trouble. But let me tell you, there's a second thing that Python wants to do. Python not only wants to interrupt you from praying, but Python tries to stop you from praising. Python tries to stop you from praising. Now, we know from our last time in this area about Python that Paul, after that spirit of Python had followed them around for many days and crying out the same thing, trying to interrupt their prayer life and their prayer ministry right there, that finally the Apostle Paul said, I've had about enough of this. And in the name of Jesus, Python, you come out of her and leave her. And the spirit of Python left her right there. But demons don't die. Do you understand that? Demons don't die. There's just as many demons today as there were when they were created. Demons don't get discouraged. Demons don't go away. They just circle around and look for another place of attack. So what happened after this slave girl was released from the grip of and the strength of Python? Well, they moved in other people. And it says in verse 19, when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace. And when they, in verse 23 says, and when they had what? They struck them with many blows. I see right now in the spiritual realm, Python has been striking many of you with many blows. I mean, bad thing after bad thing after bad thing has been happening in your life. And it's trying to interrupt your praying life. But as much as anything, it's trying to stop your praise life as well. When they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to what? Keep them in bondage as well as you can. You know, that's what the hidden spirits want to do. Leviathan, confuse them. Keep them in jail. Jezebel, keep them under your control. Keep them in jail. Python, if you keep them confused and you keep them controlled long enough, I'll squeeze every bit of breath and life and anointing out of them that I can. But let me tell you what happens to those people who understand about warfare. How did Paul and Silas respond to this attack from Python? But about what time? Midnight. Oh, my goodness, we could talk a week on midnight. Midnight is a lot of things in the Bible. We've told you that midnight is the longest period between the darkness and the light. But here's another thing. Midnight is also associated with the arrival of Jesus. I want to tell you that when it gets midnight in your circumstance, if you learn how to take your stance in the Lord and with the power of His might, then I want to tell you Jesus will show up in the midst of your midnight. How do you get Jesus to show up in the midst of your midnight? Look at what He says right here. Paul and Silas were what? Woo, glory to God. Oh, my goodness. Python, oh, get out of here. You squeezed me when you threw me before the marketplace. You squeezed me when they beat us. But, oh, my goodness, in the name of Jesus, shake it off.
Shake it off right now. And Python, you're not going to get this breath from me. I'm going to get a new anointing tonight. I'm going to get a new power tonight. I'm going to get a new breakthrough tonight. And in the name of Jesus, they began to pray in the Spirit. Oh, my goodness. Yes, you got to not let Python interrupt your praying. You know what most of us do when bad things happen? We get into that old Python pity party. And Jezebel comes and said, oh, don't you dare praise God right now. Don't you dare talk to God right now. We'll pitch a fit worse than this one right here if you got to praying anymore. And most of us, you know, oh, my goodness, we just want to play a little violin. Somebody just give us a pity party right now. But oh my goodness, if you get over your pity party and you get on your knees, you get your mouth open and you just let it fly, you'll listen to God, you'll talk to God, Python will let you go. And they were praying and singing hymns of what?
Praise.
Woo, glory to God. They were singing hymns of praise to Almighty God. Jezebel hates praise. She cannot stand praise. And oh my goodness, whenever a man or a woman of God gets a fresh anointing from God, no matter how bad their circumstances, no matter how hopeless it comes, no matter how dark it is at their midnight, if they'll begin to pray in the Spirit and they'll begin to praise in the Spirit, then oh my goodness, Jezebel says, I can't handle that. And Jezebel sneaks on out of the way. And confusion says, man, I thought I had them confused. I thought for sure I had them distracted. But I can't handle this. And so confusion's gone. And now Python's the only thing there. And just lets them go and moves on out of your life. We got to learn how to keep a praise phrase in our lips. We got to learn whenever it happens just to praise Him anyhow. Just put anyhow to your circumstance and praise Him anyhow. Now you're not saying, God, I like this. You're not saying, God, this doesn't hurt. You're not saying, God, this is not bad. You're just praising Him anyhow. God, if I'm going to hurt, I'm going to hurt and praise. If I'm going to be unemployed, I'm going to be the most praise-filled unemployed person in the world. Because God responds to your praise. God inhabits the praises of His people. Oh my goodness, I'll guarantee you when God shows up in your midnight, Python is gone. Python is gone. He cannot handle the presence of God. Leave us alone! Leave us alone! But under the anointing of the Spirit of God, we're not going to leave the spirit world alone. Amen? We're going to employ the angels that God has assigned to us. We're going to utilize the power of the Holy Spirit that is available to us. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to Almighty God. Now, real quickly, what was it going on with this jail sentence that they had? You see, this was the time when the church was expanding its missionary outreach greater than it ever had before. Acts chapter 16. They'd heard the Macedonian call. Python not only wants to choke you, but Python also wants to constrict your vision from you. Whatever dream God's given you, whatever purpose God has revealed to you, Python wants to choke you so tightly that you'll give up your dream, you'll give up your vision, and you'll stay small. You won't focus on the opportunities. You'll focus on the obstacles. You'll get confused, you'll become controlled, and you begin to get choked by the spirit of Python, Jezebel, and Leviathan. Well, how do you know if you're under attack from these hidden spirits? Just a couple of warning signs, and I'm finished with this leading into your invitation now. And whenever you're under spiritual attack, one of the first things that you begin to notice is you begin to lose your desire for spiritual things. Whenever Python begins to tighten down, it begins to squeeze the desire for spiritual things out of your life. You become less interested in the things of God, and you become more interested in the things that don't make a hill of beans. Whenever you begin to lose your spiritual desire and your spiritual passion, then the second warning sign begin to manifest in your life is that you'll begin to be drawn back into old habits and to an old lifestyle. All of a sudden, the things that you used to do with the world and through the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life will begin to call to you again. How many of you know that drugs have a voice and they'll call to you? How many of you know that the world has a voice and it'll cry out to you? And you've been weakened because of the grip of Python, and you can't breathe that next breath, and you've lost that anointing that you once had, and now all of a sudden you're losing your spiritual desire, and now the old habits become more enticing to you, and you begin to draw right back into those old habits. And then the third thing happens, you begin to withdraw from godly relationships. That's what Leviathan does. It is a twisting spirit, but it's a fleeing spirit. And you begin to flee from the godly relationships that you used to enjoy so much. And then, whenever the attack is intensifying, you begin to embrace the ungodly relationships that aren't good for you and that aren't going to help you at all. So what have you got to do? You got to be set free from the hidden spirits. You see, Python wants to choke your voice. And that's how it steals your breath. How many of you remember about two weeks ago, it was in Canada, there was two young boys. I think they were 8 and 10. Could have been 6 and 8. Two brothers. They spent the night with a friend. And in the night, while they were spending the night, a python got loose. It got loose. This family lived in an upstairs apartment, and this python was in the downstairs apartment. And the python got loose. And these two boys spending the night upstairs, asleep, python came and wrapped itself around the two boys. And it choked the life, the breath, right out of them. And when they came in that morning to check on the boys for breakfast, they found python wrapped all around the two boys. And they had no life. They were dead. I want to tell you, python in the natural is real. Python in the spirit realm is real.
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info@truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.